are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode four, Monday, October the 14th, and John Beilein back in Michigan. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Counting down the days until the NBA season gets going. But like we said, we're trying to go with episodes up first thing in the morning. I was out of town over the weekend. I didn't get back till late Sunday night. Had some work to finish up. For the Detroit News, you'll check out my long, nice feature, or pretty good feature, in my opinion, on Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach who was Michigan-made from Mount Pleasant, spent some time in Saginaw, Kalamazoo, also Marquette. If you know any of those places, you'll probably enjoy this feature that we did on him. So check that out at DetNews.com and also in the print edition of the Detroit News as well. Big Monday night football game for the Lions in Green Bay tonight. But like we said, we'll come back with the morning shows the rest of the week. We'll have one up first thing Tuesday. I'll hold myself to that, even though we'll be watching the Lions game till late at night. But we'll get it done after that. So today we're going to run down the details of Friday's preseason win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And also I'll share my three objectives for Dwayne Casey and the Pistons for the rest of the preseason. And then we'll hit the Google voicemail line a little bit later with some bold predictions. Want to hear yours as well, so call us on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Give your name, where you're from, and your big predictions for the 2019-2020 Pistons season. Don't have to necessarily be bold, but what do you think is going to happen with this team? Get yourself on wax so we know where you stand. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And then check us out with the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. That handle is Locked On Pistons, all one word. And then give us a follow on a like on Twitter, on Facebook, sorry, at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But on Friday night, the Pistons closed the home portion of the preseason with a 109-105 victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And John Beilein, coach of the Michigan Wolverines, who abruptly quit and joined the Cavs this offseason to the surprise of many. The Pistons, with the victory, moved up to 2-1 on the preseason with two games left to go, both on the road this week. More on those later. But Rod Beard of the Detroit News had a good article on John Beilein. He went to the morning shoot-around on Friday, had some quotes from Larry Nance Jr. complimenting Beilein on the commitment to fundamentals, talking about the different types of pivots they do in training camp to refresh you on the front pivot, the reverse pivot, all that kind of good stuff, which is, it's kind of funny to think about, but it's possibly something that they haven't drilled on since college or maybe even high school for some of these guys, maybe ever for some of these guys, depending on what coaching they received at the high school level, the old Jack Sigma pivot where you drop the leg in front. This kind of thing maybe possibly doesn't work for most NBA teams, but when you got a team that won 19 games this year, one would think we're talking about a captive audience here. Obviously, all athletes want to win. These are guys that are motivated to get some wins. But when you're playing for a 19-win basketball team, you know in your mind, and I dealt with this with the Detroit Tigers kind of all summer, these guys know that they would not be playing on most Major League Baseball franchises. And I think the same is true for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That, yeah, you got the rest of your contract that you're going to get paid for, but you got to be working on that next contract. You got to find some sort of way to enter the real part of the NBA. And right now, unfortunately for John Beilein and the Cavs, they are not a real part of the NBA. They're the dregs. We know about that. That's the pain of a rebuild. And so everyone that always talks about the Pistons needing to tank and go forward, watch teams like the Cavs and watch what they have to go through on a weekly basis, and wonder to yourself what it would be like to watch that team on a nightly basis. Wonder to yourself what it would be like to listen to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast every day and what kind of discussions must be having to be had. Although, you know, some bright spots, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too, but some young, exciting guards. You still got Kevin Love there as well. But John Beilein, his quotes about the teaching and the building, a lot about hustling down the floor, Not exactly what the NBA is known for, and not something that you'd picture an NBA coach to be talking about even early on in the season. So we'll kind of see how this all plays out. Obviously, John Beilein, a little bit of a fish out of water story with all the success he had at the college level and now moving on to the pros. And obviously, four times a year, the Pistons are going to play the Cavs. We're going to keep a close eye on Cleveland and maybe catch up with Chris Manning before the season starts of Locked On Cavaliers, and also catch up with Coach Beilein next time he comes to Detroit here. But in the game on Friday night, 15 points apiece for Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Bruce Brown, and Derrick Rose. The Pistons trailed by 18 points early in the second half. All things lethargic for the Pistons for most of the game. Trailed by 9 points with 4 minutes left, but still got the victory at home. Some big shots from Bruce Brown on the drive, some free throws, split pairs and whatnot. Joe Johnson with the floater to kind of put it away as kind of a strange move. The two quick dribbles allowed him to take some big steps there in the lane. A savvy veteran move, but not exactly one, in my opinion, that foretells to a long and successful season with the Pistons. More on that later. Tim Frazier also some buckets in the fourth quarter as well. So the third string point guard for the Pistons. And I wonder, with all the Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson possibly playing together, I wonder if that opens up avenues for Tim Frazier to be more than just, the Jose Calderon third string point guard, 2 or 3 minutes in the game, and then kind of insurance in case there's an injury to one of the top two guys, because that's important too, we know, with Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose. But you wonder if Tim Frazier, if he continues to play well, if he forces himself into getting some minutes, that it opens up more opportunities for those two point guards on the floor at the same time kind of lineups. If Tim Frazier's play and ability opens things up for Dwayne Casey to put Rose and Jackson and or maybe Frazier with one of those guys in lineups together. Obviously, the Pistons are a smart enough organization to know that you got to get your best players on the floor. And if Tim Frazier's shown himself to be one of the 10 best players in this team, or one of the best backcourt players out there on this roster, then he deserves to be out there and figure out a way to make the positions work. But Blake Griffin sat this one out, giving more minutes to the Markieff Morrises and Thon Makers of the world. Thon Maker played really well. 7 points, 10 rebounds, some great energy on the floor. A guy who a lot of Pistons fans, I feel like, have kind of written off already. And, we'll see how his career, which is kind of at kind of a crossroads here, goes, especially early on in the regular season. I'm assuming he makes the team. Something's going to happen that's going to be a little bit strange here in the next week or so. Pistons, speaking a little bit strange, 4 of 22 from 3, 18.2%. Not enough shots for Dwayne Casey's liking, and obviously the percentage was poor as well. Some more kind of bad news. Tony Snell had one of those games that we were kind of warned about. 0 for 1 from 3. Really not many stats at all. In 18 minutes on the court. 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 block. No points. 0 for 1 from 3. Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball made kind of jokes about this from the fantasy perspective with us this summer. He'll have long stretches of games that he will literally do nothing. And so it will be an ongoing subplot to see if Tony Snell can make himself useful somehow on these kind of nights, because it's the NBA. He needs to be useful out there. Can't just be someone standing around. But for the Cavs, some good signs with Colin Sexton, at least 24 points for him in the loss. And the Pistons continue the preseason, close the preseason with a strange back-to-back at Philly on Tuesday, at Wednesday at Charlotte, and then regular season starting a week from then, Wednesday, October 23rd, at Indiana against the Pacers. And then another back-to-back. Love those NBA schedule makers. Home opener, Thursday, October 24th, the Atlanta Hawks coming to town. But Manscaped is the number one men's below-the-belt grooming. You know you need it. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Check it out there. Up next, I'm going to tell you the three things that the Pistons need to accomplish this week for the rest of the preseason. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line for your predictions. We already got Andy from Ann Arbor contributing today. We'll hear him out, but I'm looking for yours as well. 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail just like it sounds. Leave your name, where you're from, and give me some bold and or not so bold predictions about what you think from the Pistons this year. Get yourself on wax. Get it on record as we are about 9 days away from the season beginning. So two games left in the preseason for the Pistons. A 1 week of practice today on Monday. Not sure what the schedule is for Tuesday. Probably traveling at some point, obviously, down to Philadelphia and then back to Charlotte for Wednesday night to close the preseason, another week of practice after that. The first thing I'd like to see the Pistons accomplish in these next two games is, I think, rotation-wise. You want to hockey shift this a little bit, pick the right combinations. I'm thinking you don't want to play guys back-to-back games if they're the real guys, the real contributors. So we saw Blake Griffin sit out on Friday night. Joe Johnson sat out on Wednesday, those kind of things. I think for the rotation guys, and maybe you put Joe Johnson in that quote-unquote rotation guy group just for this week because he's 38 years old and you have to make these kind of considerations for guys based on their advanced age. But you might pick the top 10 guys on the roster, the secure guys who you know are going to make the team, and kind of divide them up into two groups and say, this five, you're going to play against the 76ers on Tuesday, and then this five, you guys are going to play against the Charlotte Hornets on Wednesday. And again, I'll put Derrick Rose in that group as a veteran guy who has no business playing back-to-back games here right now. And then as far as the end of the roster guys, the Sekou Doumbouyas of the world, the G League guys, Todd Withers, Lewis King, Dante Hall, Jordan Bone, those types, I think that you're going to start to see those guys in these next two games. That they'll finally get some run there, and really they should get a decent amount of run. We're talking about the last two preseason games. The Pistons have won two. They had the comebacks against Dallas and Cleveland. Nice wins, good to feel good about victories, all that good stuff. Really nothing left to accomplish in the scoreboard, so to speak, for the Pistons going forward. So I'd like to see the Todd Withers, Lewis King, Dante Hall, Sekou Doumbouya, Jordan Bone, mix those guys in with some regulars as well, not just put them in the last half of the fourth quarter and let Khyri Thomas go to work. But when you're picking, if this is what they choose to do, if they're picking the right combinations of the regular players to sit and play together, you might be wise to keep a Luke Kennard and Derrick Rose on the same nights so that they get some more ability to play together. You might keep Thon Maker out there in that backup center role, which is apparently what they're going to be trying for him. You might try to get Tim Frazier out there with Christian Wood because it seems like those guys could be end of the rotation type of guys that might play together. I would you'd consider keeping Tony Snell out there with the Bruce Browns and Blake Griffins of the world as a complimentary player who is going to be feeding off of those guys. Pretty much. If there's someone who needs to get some work with Andre Drummond in pick-and-roll situations, whether that's Derrick Rose or Luke Kennard, maybe Reggie Jackson's been out there enough with Andre Drummond over the years. Those guys don't need to get on the same page. Maybe divide them up into the two separate groups, but keep Andre out there with Luke and Derrick. Just some thoughts on some possible rotations. You got the new guys. I'd like to see, obviously, kind of a mix of the new additions, the Markieff Morris, Tony Snells, Christian Wood, Tim Frazier, Derrick Rose types. Mix them in with some of the guys that were there before because we know the cohesiveness of the guys who are coming back under Dwayne Casey for year two. Maybe they don't need to get to know each other as much as the new guys need to blend with the older guys, so to speak. So that's kind of number one. Number two, and it's the drum we've been beating to death forever, but give Bruce Brown, like he did on Friday, some time at the one lead ball handler, sitting out a Derrick Rose for one of these games and then Reggie for the other game or whatever. Gives that opportunity for some minutes to be there for Bruce Brown. He had 7 assists on Friday night. We know he led the summer league in assists per game with about 8 there. I know I'm a broken record on this, but would love to see him get some of those plays drawn up for him, not just a guy who sits in the corner and misses threes. Look, we know Bruce Brown is a horribly inefficient offensive player right now as it stands, so it's going to be a challenge for the coaching staff to figure out ways to make that work. Obviously, it's imperative that Bruce improves the part of his games, namely three-point shooting and all the other parts of his games, ball handling, so he can deserve the ball in his hand a lot of times. But I think if Bruce is more effective with the ball in his hand than he isn't, which is strange because if he's in the starting group, obviously he's not in the top two or three list of players that you want with the ball in his hands when he's out there with a Blake Griffin and a Reggie Jackson. But they got to figure that out. The Pistons coaching staff can't just say Bruce Brown's going to be a really good defensive player who is going to be inefficient and kind of a black hole offensively. You got to find a way to make it work. Along those same lines, kind of a mystery to me in the preseason has been Svi Mykhailiuk only getting about 10 minutes a game in the preseason. A lot of bench guys, the Langston Galloways of the world, getting a lot more minutes than him. a little bit frustrating on both ends of that, because it seems like Svi Mykhailiuk is a guy that should be playing a lot in the preseason, kind of a test to see if he's ready for real minutes. And if you're a Pistons fan, you listen to this show, you know that I'm not for more minutes for Langston Galloway. And especially at this point in his career, in a preseason where we know what he is, there's going to be nothing that we learn about Langston Galloway with preseason minutes. But maybe that's a sign that they're showing him off for other teams, or trying him out to see if they're going to stretch him or cut him or try to trade him. So, you know, that could be part of the mix as well. We don't know how the Venn diagram of front office and coaching is kind of the one making these kind of decisions in the preseason. And I also would like to see them hoist some more threes. Would like to see Derrick Rose not shoot those mid-range jumpers as part of the Dwayne Casey shot spectrum. Maybe see him kick it out on some drives a little bit more. He had one assist on Friday. I know he's playing well. We don't want to nitpick Derrick Rose. I've already got some of the Rose stands coming after me on Twitter. Quick blocks for some of those guys on Twitter. But, just maybe that Derrick Rose getting to the basket is great, and finishing at the basket is great too. But we know that three-pointers are better than twos, and sometimes even a wide-open three is a better shot than even a made layup sometimes, as silly as it sounds. Because Luke Kennard, pretty automatic on a lot of those shots, and a couple of the other Pistons, if feet set, correct corner positioning and all that good stuff, a high percentage three is better than even a higher percentage two, because the point differential in three versus two. I'll break down the math for you some other time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the third and most important thing this week is the making the choice for the 15th spot. We've talked about it here. I saw Vince Ellis and Rod Beard both writing about Christian Wood and today's papers with the impact that they're making. Christian Wood, has done everything he wanted this preseason, and we know that the preseason games, the five games, is not the most important thing in making the decision on the 15th spot, but it is important and it is a thing. And Joe Johnson, we all can talk ourselves into Joe Johnson in the old days and all the points he scored in the NBA and all the All-Star games he's made. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, he's 38 years old. He's been out of the league for 1 year already. He looked kind of washed in his last year in the NBA anyway. I think Christian Wood deserves to be on this team. And I think if the choice comes down to Christian Wood or Joe Johnson, you say thanks but no thanks to Joe, and you let him walk and maybe go find a spot somewhere else that's looking for a bench guy. Joe Johnson is also a guy who would be a nice pickup for a team that has an injury in December or something like that, and maybe that could be the Pistons. Obviously 15 roster spots coming out of training camp is one thing, but we know all the injuries that are going to pop up, especially a team that loses a key scorer to injuries, a team that could really give him good minutes and give him a good chance. I just don't know if the full 82 is the answer for a guy at 38 years old who was really only an effective playoff performer in his last couple years in the NBA. So something to think about. Maybe Joe Johnson's one of those half-season type of players, the buyout types of players. So I think that Joe Johnson maybe miscast a little bit in terms of a guy who's going to give you some minutes off the bench throughout the entire season. I think it would be front office malpractice if there's some way that Christian Wood has not figured out to be part of this team. Now, reading a little bit from Rod Beard's story today, and I recommend checking that one out as well, some maturity issues that Dwayne Casey's talking about. He's been doing everything right so far in training camp and into the preseason, but that's just a couple weeks. I think the book on Christian Wood might be something where Dwayne Casey alluded to, he's showing up on time and doing all the things he needed to do, hinting at the fact that that wasn't the case for him in the past in places like New Orleans and Milwaukee. Donnie Tindall was on our show. We talked about going up against him, and he was reluctant to talk about it because he didn't want to step on the toes of Dwayne Casey and his coaching staff. But as you kind of think back to the way he kind of dodged that question a little bit, maybe there was some kind of thought about the maturity issues with Christian Wood. So something to think about. You'd like to think a guy who is looking at, playing for his NBA life right now and trying to prolong his career as much as possible in terms of making a really nice contract and making a really nice living in the NBA. You'd like to think that he could keep it together throughout the whole season, but if that's been an issue in the past, it's an issue that we'll have to kind of keep in mind going forward. So those are the three things I'm looking for this week from the Pistons. But another thing I'm looking for is your company. If you want to reach an upscale male audience, then your company should be ad should be running right here, right now on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email me at matt_shook@yahoo.com or email locked@lockedonpodcast.com to get more details about increasing your business on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, we're going to hit the Google voicemail line, get your predictions, starting with Andy in Ann Arbor. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team, every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Andy from Ann Arbor. Maybe it's because it's a rainy day today, but my prediction for the season is generally pretty pessimistic. I see Blake having injury woes throughout most of the season, and I see the Pistons missing the playoffs, finishing in 9th, maybe 10th in the East, unfortunately confirming the suspicions of the Raptor metric that you mentioned on Friday's episode. The one bright spot is that Andre will decline his player, and he and Reggie will both be out the door, allowing for some cap flexibility and perhaps some exciting young players to finally arrive in Detroit. So pessimism this season, perhaps some optimism next season. We'll see. Thanks as always, Matt.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thanks for the call. He cut out a little bit there. I cut out a chunk that I couldn't make out what he was saying. I think he had another point to make about Andre Drummond after saying that Blake would have the injury issues. But thanks again for the call, Andy. Certainly that characterization of the season is within the realm of possibilities, strong possibilities. You know, that wasn't certainly a bold take by any means, not one that Pistons fans necessarily want to hear going into the season, because it would be a disappointing 2019-20 campaign. That Blake injury issues is something that's just kind of always looming out there. I know in some ways it's a little bit unfair to talk about a guy who's, you know, coming off the surgery but relatively healthy and came off a relatively healthy most of last season. But yeah, the fact of the matter is that he does have the injury issues in the past. Same with a couple guys on this roster, like we know. And like Andy alluded to, this is a big season for this team. I think that we could all kind of agree, looking back, and maybe we would fool ourselves back then, but I think we all kind of knew that last season, really, getting back to the playoffs is nice, and having Dwayne Casey have a more successful than not opening season for the Pistons is cool and everything, but it wasn't really a franchise-altering season in any kind of way. You knew that Blake, with the contract, was probably going to be stuck. Andre was coming back. Reggie was coming back this year, all those kind of things. Yeah, there were pipe dreams, and maybe some folks wanted certain guys traded, and maybe a Bradley Beal type of deal, the twinkle in some people's eyes. But last year, it was what it was, you know, and I'm sitting here saying that if the Pistons didn't explore trading Blake Griffin this past summer, they might regret that someday, because his value might have been as high as it could have possibly have been. And if you listen to the show, you know there's no bigger Blake Griffin guy than me. But I mean that in the sense of where the Pistons are going in the future. If you want to maximize your asset, and a guy coming off of a great season like that, looking around the league and how open this league is right now to win the title, and certainly I don't put the Pistons in that group, but there's teams out there, Portland Trailblazers, Oklahoma City Thunder losing Russell Westbrook and thinking about what they're doing going forward. The Western Conference is filled with teams that think they have a chance of winning the title, and then teams that are, you know, maybe one more move away from getting to the title. Miami's a team that's aggressive. You know, there's teams all over the place. Atlanta could use an infusion of a veteran. Chicago's are always willing to make deals. Is there a team out there that is one Blake Griffin away from being their second best player to back up Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum? Could you get a godfather offer of every other asset the Trailblazers have so that they could get McCollum, Lillard, and Blake Griffin together on the court? That's a team that you could sit there and talk about being a title favorite if you were able to get those three together. So the Pistons, again, maybe they did try. And hopefully if you're a fan of a team, your front office is out there trying those kind of things and trying to get your team to look better in the near and medium and long term. But again, I think we might be sitting here next summer regretting not pulling the trigger on Blake Griffin there going forward. And like he said, like Andy alluded to, Andre and Reggie, big seasons for them. Their futures with the Pistons definitely in question going forward. And I think we finally have, like, what is, like I said, compared to last season, this is a huge season for the Pistons in terms of what this team's going to look like going forward. Big decisions that have to be made on some of the young guys, long-term commitments. I mean, it's one thing for rookie deals to have Khyree Thomas and Sfea Mikhailiuk and Bruce Brown contributing in their own small ways at times, but you're going to have to make some serious investments in those guys, and or Thon Maker, and or, you know, the list goes on, Sekou down the line, all that kind of stuff. So you're going to have to make big decisions on these guys. And Luke Kennard, obviously, is someone who's going to deserve a lot of money in his first big deal coming up here soon. So these are big choices, big decisions for Ed Stefanski and the front office to make. And we've talked about that in the past, too. It seems like this group has done a decent job of working around the margins and improving the rosters in small ways. But Ed Stefanski, to his credit, I guess, has done a good way of passing the buck. There's no real way to make any decisions or make any characterizations of how Ed Stefanski's done in 2 years on the job, which would be nice. It would be nice to be paid a lot of money to do 2 years of a job where no one can really decide if you've done it well or not. I don't think that would fly for most of us out there in the real world. But that's the world of pro sports, and can't fault a guy for doing A, what his boss tells him to do, and owner Tom Gores, and B, whatever prolongs his time at a lucrative gig. So good for them, I guess, kind of going forward. But you wonder if they're doing the right things in the big picture, if they're making the kind of calls that one might hope they would make for the future of the franchise. But all remains to be seen, and like Andy in Ann Arbor says, big season coming up for some big names on the Detroit Pistons roster. What are your thoughts? Got some bold predictions? More on the optimistic end than Andy? More on the super optimistic end, super negative end? What do you think is going to happen? Any bold predictions about individual players and accomplishments that they might have? Is Luke Kennard going to go to the three-point shootout? Is he going to become a guy who can average 14 a game or something like that? Let me know if you have some thoughts on those guys. And, of course, give us a follow on all the social media outlets out there in the Twitterverse, internet world, all that good stuff. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, and we'll be back with another show tomorrow. Excited to talk preview and hoops with some of the Central Division teams soon. We'll do that as well. And, excited for the season, 9 days away. So thanks for joining us. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight from the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.